Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's Liberation Day, Monday, and we're so glad that you felt able to come to this seminar. It is, in my view, one of the most strategic events this week at Keswick, so you've chosen the right track, and encourage others to join us over these next few days. My name is Jonathan Lamb. My job is simply to introduce our speakers and then to get out of the way as quickly as possible. So let me first of all explain that you're in the seminar Faithful to Christ's Commission. I hope you're all hoping to be in that venue and you're here. And we're looking at God's faithfulness to his mission in a global pandemic this morning. We're delighted to have Steve Smith and Matthew Skirton, who'll be leading this between them. They've done a huge amount of work to prepare for these four seminars, and it's lovely to have them. Steve is working with SIM as the UK director. Previously, he was involved in pastoral ministry in the church and also worked with Crosslinks in Uganda. Matthew is the UK director for OM, Operation Mobilisation, and lives up in Oswestry, but has previously worked in Eastern Europe, particularly in Moldova. And so both of these brothers bring not only field experience, but a breadth of understanding of what's happening, not just in the UK, but around the world. So we're delighted to have you both, and Helen too. Thank you very much. I'm going to pray and then hand over to Steve, who'll get the ball rolling. I don't think there are any notices other than we're due to finish at 10:30, and then the 11:15 is the Bible reading, which is in the venues across if you are staying on site. Let's pray together. Father, first of all, we want to thank you for your mercies to us, which are new every morning. And we thank you as we're here in this beautiful town and area with beautiful weather, with good friends, with your people, with the chance to hear your word, to learn more about your mission around the world. We thank you so much. And we thank you too that by your grace we've been able to have the event this year. Thank you for all the work that's gone on to make this event COVID safe. We spend a moment just now to pray for our country, particularly with the changes in regulations today. We ask for your continued care and protection on our communities, our churches, our societies, the NHS, carers, and those who are vulnerable. We pray, Lord, for your mercy. Now we pray for the many hundreds who are in town and involved in the seminar streams and other events today. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be amongst us, leading us and teaching us and convicting us and challenging us. We especially pray for Steve and Matthew that you'll be alongside them as they present their material today and this week. Please encourage them in their ministry. And we ask that as a result of this week, there will be many, many more people around the UK and beyond who are praying and going and giving and serving. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, please put your hands together for Steve and Matthew. Let's welcome them.
Thank you, Jonathan, for your welcome. It's really good to be here. My name's Steve Smith, and Matthew's going to be leading and presenting this session today. And this session is all around the impact that the global pandemic has had on the mission of the church in the world. So we're going to be listening to voices from around the world on the impact of the pandemic in their situation, but particularly hearing about God's faithfulness in that circumstance. So we're going to start with a video in a moment. But as you'll see on the screen, just go back one slide if you could. Anyone use Slido before? Anyone use that before? The one hand at the front here. If it's something that you want to do to ask a question, we have it open, and you can Google search Slido and enter the code there below. Given the lack of hands, we're just going to press forward, but Jonathan, you're very welcome to ask a question. Questions at the end, I will go round with the microphone and I will hold it while you ask. Please write your questions down and I will come round with the microphone at the end. Without any further ado, let's start with the video.
God has given us a mission, and this mission involves me and you. What we thought would be really important today at the beginning of our four-part mission series looking at global mission, is to especially concentrate and think together how the pandemic of the last 18 months has impacted and made a difference to global mission efforts. Now, we could spend quite a lot of time talking about the practical implications for us as mission leaders. We've had struggles trying to get people to travel to different countries, restrictions, visas, insurances, the practicalities of trying to work and mobilize and send people out through lockdown has not been easy. But we don't just want to be thinking, or we really don't want to be thinking just about the practical ramifications. But I'd like, especially today, to draw out some of the challenges that we've faced and perhaps some of the thinking and prioritizing of mission activity that has happened as a result of these last 18 months. We're not just going to be hearing from myself and Steve, two middle-aged British guys. We're going to be traveling around the world, hearing from friends from different continents, different mission leaders from around the world. And they'll be helping us understand what has been something of the impact of this pandemic. So we're going to go straight into hearing from a series of friends. These are mission leaders with quite significant mission responsibilities around the world. We're going to start with Melvin in Africa. The question that I asked, how has the pandemic impacted mission efforts of the church in your part of the world? So we go to Melvin first in sub-Saharan Africa. Oh, it's Ashley in Asia, and then I think on to Melvin.
In early last year, churches in East Asia were the first faced with the threat of the pandemic. When the country were under lockdown or movement restrictions, many churches were able to transfer and continue their ministry online gradually. But some churches took a much longer process to adjust to this new normal. Some key challenges faced are the adoption of technology, internet connectivity and stability, and also in some countries, internet data is expensive as believers try to first meet their basic needs. And this prolonged crisis has a great impact on the economy, and it creates a ripple effects on church offerings and mission giving. And just imagine, on top of the pandemic, few countries are also faced with political turmoil. And it is a very difficult period for the church.
Wow, the pandemic has changed the way we do church and therefore how we mobilize the church into missions. Also, it has changed. So first we actually thought, oh, that the pandemic is, it's far away, it wouldn't come here to us in Latin America. But then we start to see countries closing down, start to close borders, and we were shocked and somehow not knowing what to do because, okay, how we send workers? We had a lot of uncertainty, but also we were thinking, okay, maybe this is going to pass very soon. But so all this uncertainty and the complexity, then the church had to embrace the changes and adjust quickly, first to the digital reality, but also taking every opportunity to engage with the people and to respond to the crisis and taking on all the new opportunities.
As we all know, there has been a lot of lockdown which has happened, and Africa being a participating culture where, you know, we want to gather in numbers, this has created some isolation and abandonment to some people. But also we are seeing the decline in the spiritual life of members, especially that they cannot come together and also, you know, encourage one another. But we have also seen the financial challenges that our people are facing, because some have lost employment and others have they don't have finances to support them, which also affects even the work of God in Africa. We have also seen some stress levels rising to higher levels that, you know, because of what people are going through. So this has made a lot of people, you know, to feel the pain and also abandoned. And it is there for the church, you know, to encourage these people.
Mission effort has so much been affected by social distancing in the Sahel. Naturally, Sahelians are social people and they share the gospel through their social circles. Financial crisis is another problem that has been in the church during this pandemic. Most church members are traders who go to different countries, get goods and sell them. So that traveling restriction has caused a lot of financial crisis in the church. It has also caused health crisis because people are not able to get balanced food and even famine.
Of course, the pandemic also has highly impacted the Arabian Peninsula. Many people have been affected by the virus. The church, however, also jumped into action. Yes, there is a church in Bahrain, in the Emirates, in Oman, and even in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. But the church, for instance, in Bahrain, they saw the needs of migrant workers. One of our people saw that many of them had not had a salary for over 8 months. She got people together and filled bags with goods, food, and also the good book. And they went out and shared the gospel, but also had compassion on those in need. And that ministry continues till today. It's actually opened the door to a whole new area of ministry where we were not engaged in, together with the church in Bahrain.
Negatively, I think the COVID pandemic has affected the sending and receiving of workers short and long term, and it's become harder due to the COVID-19 restrictions. We send less people out and not as many events, like evangelistic events with teenagers and young people. Positive is that we've seen, I believe we've seen a greater involvement of local people, near and same culture workers, which is a good development as they've taken up, you know, the baton and stepped into the void of having less foreigners working there. And I think that also another development is that that we've seen more things more virtual. You know, churches, church plant, they had to find sort of a hybrid model of virtual and real face-to-face engagement using social media campaigns, etc., to engage with people that normally would not walk into a church. So that's not all negative as well.
So it's been a big encouragement for me.
Oh, for us in the Muslim world, the pandemic has accelerated the efforts that we were already engaged in, specifically in holistic help for people's social and physical needs. Places like India and Afghanistan, without a government welfare system, when people lose their jobs, they become destitute. A gentleman in North India called Muhammad was reduced to eating. He and his family were reduced to eating one meal a day, and he said to our partners, "You have wiped away my tears." Secondly, of course, the whole world has gone online, and social media has opened up great new opportunities. And by focusing on Facebook and Instagram, we've been able to see a huge increase in responses and openness and opportunities to declare the gospel to people who we weren't able to reach beforehand.
Sorry, I almost forgot about Julian. But these are just snippets of interviews, longer interviews that I've been able to have in the last month or so. And it has been hugely encouraging to hear of God's faithfulness, God remaining faithful to his mission, even in the midst of all that we've been going through. Summarizing some of the points that I heard and that we've heard already, we've seen a growth and development in online and digital mission efforts. We've seen more people reached digitally, virtually, as a result of the pandemic. We've heard that there's an economic as well as a health crisis. Global South countries especially have been impacted. But this has also provided an opportunity for demonstrating and reaching out with God's love holistically. We've heard especially that those from more relational cultures have felt more abandoned and isolated through this pandemic time. And practically, of course, we've heard it's harder to send people out to cross geographical borders, cross cultural mission work. But at the same time, then, we've seen a more same and near culture workers mobilized to witness and to share. Now, that first point, let me just unpack that a little bit, a development in online digital outreach. Because I've heard for about the last 6 months, we've had greater opportunities of reaching out. We've been able to reach more people through our media ministries. And I've dug deeper into that. And I contacted partners who work in Pakistan amongst Somalis and in Turkish ministry. And I've said, well, tell me some statistics. Tell me some details. How have you actually seen a growth in reaching people online? One media, Christian media group who are broadcasting gospel messages into Pakistan said that they've seen double the number of people now tuning in to Christian broadcasts through these last 18 months. Social media interaction with the gospel message has increased threefold in Pakistan through the early months of the pandemic, and there's been steady increase since. And on average in Pakistan, they've seen one person come to faith each week as a result of this one media ministry. So we're encouraged at what's happening there. We have friends who are involved in a ministry to Somalis online. As a result of the pandemic, they've seen their subscriptions to their YouTube channel go from 2,000 to 10,000. Subscription to their Facebook channel has gone from 10,000 to 30,000. They've gone online on TikTok. I'm sure you're all aware of what TikTok is, another social media platform. One gospel message had 180,000 hits from Somali friends. They used to see one or two Somalis come to faith every single day through their ministry. And through the pandemic, they've seen five to six Somalis come to faith, 70% of them in Somalia, and the rest from the diaspora population. And you probably heard me very briefly from the main stage speak of this Turkish ministry, a pastor friend who used to preach for 30 Turkish members of his congregation. He had to go online, and now 1,600 are listening regularly each week to the gospel message. So it's not just anecdotal. We do hear and we are seeing more people are being reached as a result of digital and media ministry. What I'm sharing about and the theme this morning is God remains faithful to his people. God remains faithful to his mission in the midst of turmoil and uncertainty and despair. And of course, that's what we see through the whole of Scripture, isn't it? God remaining faithful to his people from the very calling of Abraham, because God has a mission to redeem people for himself. And he calls Abraham and he says, I've given you a covenant promise and I will bless you and you will be a blessing to all nations, to all peoples. And we see through the rest of Scripture that God remains faithful to that covenant promise. Even in the midst of turmoil and despair and suffering, the problems that the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had in Egypt, that they cried out to God and God remained faithful to his promise and he set them free from captivity. And of course, they keep making mistakes and, Lord, why don't we have water? Why don't we have food? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And God remains faithful throughout Scripture in the midst of the people moaning and complaining. And finally, they enter the promised land and they fall into idolatry. They want a king because they want to be like the other nations, but God had called them to be holy and separate. And they said, no, we reject God. We want to be like the other nations. But God remains faithful to his promise, to his mission, and he sends the prophets to warn them. And of course, finally sends his son, Jesus. God has a plan, and he will remain faithful to fulfilling that plan, to fulfilling his purposes. So I asked our friends from around the world, what lessons are you learning? What lessons are the church learning in the midst of this pandemic? And now let's hear what they said.
The lessons that we are learning as a church in the midst of the pandemic is that, you know, it is not business as usual. And what I mean by that is that we need to adapt new ways and, you know, have a new way of thinking about how we do church. There is also a room for redefining what we mean by church, because some people, they think church is about the building or when people, you know, come together. But with the pandemic, we have been, you know, challenged and also encouraged to think about the church as individual believers, you know, having the relationship with the Lord. But also, we need as a church, if we are to be effective in reaching out to the lost, that we need to come up with creative ways or innovative ways, like, you know, how to use media in terms of communicating the gospel. And we have seen churches, you know, coming up with a Facebook page where they can post some teachings, some sermons, and people are listening from those teachings, but also even recording some messages on WhatsApp, YouTube, and Twitter, which people can, you know, listen in their comfort of their homes. Also, we have seen that we need to encourage discovery Bible study in families, where families can sit and go through the Word of God. But much more, we need also to focus on discipleship-making movement, whereby people, you know, can reach out to few individuals, and by doing so, the church is growing. But also, we need as a church to understand that with the challenges that people are going through, we need to approach ministry in a holistic manner, whereby, you know, we are not just thinking of the spirit, but also the total person. And this is what I have seen churches doing in Africa.
I see that the church has a better understanding of what it means to be church. And the church in Latin America has grown also in understanding its purpose and the role in God's mission. There is a greater understanding of the urgency of the gospel to be proclaimed in all parts of the world, especially among the least rich. And therefore, there is this willingness to be creative, to reinvent ourselves, being salt and light, making a difference, reaching out to those that are very close to us, but also looking to the opportunities to engage with those that are far away. So we've seen the growth of generosity, of sacrificial service, of care for those in need. And it is the church being intentional in living out the love of Christ.
But the church has learned a lot through this, and one of these that God doesn't change. It's in the book of Hebrews 13:8. We still experience His love, His grace, His mercies. We have also learned to appreciate and value the gift of time. Time with our families, with our friends, with church members, which we took for granted when we handheld the freedom. We have also learned that church is not a building, but it's the heart of man. And this has caused people to grow, you know, through that personal fellowship with God. We've also learned that there's time for everything. People will die when time comes. People will get sick when time comes. And that has caused people to trust God more and to use, you know, the time they have better.
One of the key lessons learned is about dependent on God. Churches began to discern what God was saying to them, as waiting for the pandemic to end is not a good solution. And churches started prayer initiative to seek God's face. and one prayer network started an online prayer meeting to pray for a city that was fighting against the pandemic. After 2.5 months, even the city re-emerged from the crisis. The online prayer meeting continued for more than 300 days with an average of 500 people praying daily. As churches faced with rapid and adaptive change, they were on their knees. Like the account in 2 Chronicles, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on God.
One of the biggest lessons we've learned in the Muslim world as a church is that church is so much more than meeting in buildings. Some of the most effective and encouraging relief in Afghanistan has been through tiny little house churches, often just family groups, giving food packets to their neighbors and relatives. And in the Middle East, we've seen a significant multiplication of house churches in some of the most difficult places, precisely because leaders have not been able to attend those churches, and leaders have been coaching and mentoring the emerging leaders of the new groups. And so because the old leader isn't in the group, the new leader has flourished and has prospered and has grown in his leadership, and that has resulted in a multiplication of these new groups, sometimes to the fourth and even to the fifth generation in some of the big cities of the Middle East.
I think we've learned in the European, on the European continent, that real gospel transformation often takes place in smaller groups. Bigger is not necessarily better. And to form a loving, caring, kind, sort of sharing community is very, very important. And at times it is better done in smaller groups. I think also we've learned that if there are relationships, it's also possible to connect meaningful virtual. It's possible to integrate both and make the best of both. And both are valid, you know, the virtual are valid, but also, of course, the face-to-face, the contact that we need. And I think going forward, we will merge the two and use both of them. Then thirdly, there's also a lot of room for acts of love, acts of service motivated by love. Let me put it that way. The lonely, single, fearful, forgotten parts of society. I think the government doesn't know what to do with them, but the church does, and the church can help. Every positive faith report on the news or at the BBC is related to a believer acting, giving, serving someone or a community in need. It's appealing, it's attractive, it brings people to Jesus.
So trying to summarize a little bit what our friend said, lessons learned by the church in mission globally around the world over these last 18 months. Firstly, we heard time and time again, our friends were saying there's greater understanding of what church is. It's not just about buildings and services, but it's rather God's people in community. Secondly, what came out again and again, smaller groups are more effective for discipleship. It's not just about the large gatherings. Thirdly, all around the world, we're seeing new leaders have stepped up, have needed to step up, even if it's just in small group discipleship groups. We're hearing of an increased number of prayer initiatives. I was especially touched with what Ashley in Asia said about this one city where the churches got together online and praying, interceding for the needs of their city. And then we've heard from many of the different folks a growth in holistic ministries, opportunities to demonstrate the love of God. Now, I don't know. Well, let me ask you a question. We're talking of God's faithfulness to his mission. Has anyone here, in this last 18 months, if you think within your church, has anyone here heard a sermon based from the book of Lamentations? Have we had any preaching from Lamentations? See a couple of hands. I've come across a number of sermons having been preached on Lamentations and the importance of lamenting over these last months. In fact, Tom Wright at the National Parliamentary Prayer Breakfast just last month, he shared three main points, and one of his points was the importance of lamenting. And he shared about what lamenting is and how the church is learning the importance of lamenting. And I've turned a number of times in these last months to the Book of Lamentations, and it is quite an extraordinary book, isn't it? We have Jeremiah as an eyewitness to what's happening in the city of Jerusalem in the midst of turmoil and suffering and destruction. It's the 11th year of King Zedekiah, and everything's going wrong. And he is walking around and describing what he sees and what he feels. And let me just, very briefly, chapter 1, he says, the city that once was so full and bustling is deserted. Now, it feels like we're in exile. Verse 4, there's no feasting or partying allowed. The roads are empty. The splendor has departed. The princes, the rulers are powerless. They don't really know what to do. We remember the good old days in the past. And he says, this is why I weep and my eyes are filled with tears. I receive no comfort. No one restores my soul. Will things ever return to normal? There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Verse 20, I'm distressed, my heart is disturbed, my eyes fail from weeping. It's a description of suffering and heartache, a description that many people around the world can identify with. And then into chapter 3, he says, I'm the man who has seen affliction. And he lists all of these feelings that he has. He says, I feel trapped. I feel chained. I'm blocked in. My prayers are unanswered. I feel mangled. My heart is pierced. I'm a laughing stock. There's a bitter taste in my mouth. I'm trampled in the dust. There's no peace. The splendor is gone. My soul is downcast. This is terrible. This is how Jeremiah's feeling. It's powerful. It's heartbreaking. We can identify to varying degrees with the words he's sharing. And yet, in the very midst of this book of Lamentations, we have these verses that are so well known to us. But chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. In the midst of everything, he says, I remember this. I will not forget. Because of God's love, we're not consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We know a song about that, don't we? The Lord is my portion, I will wait for him. God is good to those who wait patiently and seek him. Wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And he goes on in verses 32. Great is his, God's unfailing love. He does not willingly bring affliction. What we have here in the midst of distress and suffering, Jeremiah is reminded of God's faithfulness. And as we look around the world in the midst of distress and suffering and horrific situations in many countries, many global South countries that are facing not just the health but the economic crisis, yet we have glimpses of God remaining faithful to his mission and his purposes. So I asked our friends, tell us, how have you seen God remaining faithful to his mission of redeeming people? And this is what they said.
We have seen God remaining faithful to his mission of redeeming people because some people, they've felt that because of the pandemic, things have changed. But I want to say, God has never changed. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, the mission has not changed. We see, in fact, more of people wanting, you know, to know more about God. Because some people in the past, they believed that maybe by having a lot of money, good hospitals, you know, a lot of food, that can save them in times of a pandemic like this one. But we have seen whereby all these things have been shattered and no one is giving an answer to what is happening. And there is that cry and desire for people, you know, to know about God. And it just also confirms what the Bible says, that we should not trust in the arm of flesh, but, you know, trust in God. So we have seen so many people turning, you know, to God and come wanting to know about God. And, you know, the church is reaching out to these people, especially with what I have already said. There is a lot of trauma, a lot of stress that people are going through. There is some emotion pain that people are going through because of losing of their beloved ones. And this is where God is using more of the church in terms of giving hope and faith to people that have you know, lost that hope.
In the midst of uncertainties and fear, God opens opportunity for His church to sow the seeds of love and hope, both on the ground and online. And some local community who were once hostile to Christians, but now they invited God's people to serve among them. And God has softened people's heart and brought many to Himself. So for the past 1.5 years, I read and heard many testimonies of God's faithfulness to His people and missions across Asia. As churches learn to adapt, innovate, and being agile by God's powers, He enables them to grow and multiply. And God will continue His redemptive purpose among the nations, because missions is His.
One of the things that we've noticed in the region is that because the pandemic hits everyone, everyone goes through the same thing. And that has opened new doors, especially those that have stayed in the region and Christians that are living in local suburbs. They found themselves talking with their neighbors on WhatsApp, maybe just across the street, on social distance, of course. But also they started to go deeper in their relationships as they were experiencing the same thing together. And that opened doors to share the good news of Jesus with their neighbors. And we've seen that in different countries across the Arabian Peninsula. That relations deepened and that the opportunity for witness was actually increased during this time of COVID-19 in the region. And we've seen baptisms across the region, more than we've ever seen before. Now, I do not claim that this was just COVID, but it's God moving in the Muslim world. We praise God for that.
We've also seen God remain faithful in different ways. And one of the ways is the new approaches and strategies that has helped the church leaders to develop, so to reach out to people the gospel. And one of it has better use of, you know, technology. People are able to listen to the gospel through WhatsApp, you know, through, you know, YouTube, and it has helped a lot. We've seen also the faithfulness of God, because people have not lost their faith. People still trusting God in the midst of all this. Even people who have lost their loved ones, they still trust God and believe that God is faithful. We have also seen mission work grow in some capacities, because people have continued to give, they have continued to pray, and some have continued to go out to share the gospel to the unreached, especially the least reached communities. So we've seen how God has remained faithful through all this pandemic, and we still trust that he'll continue to do that.
We in the Muslim world have a deep conviction that the chaos and the suffering of the pandemic are just an example of what we see in Revelation with the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the Antichrist, war, famine, and plague. And the Lamb is on the throne. The Lamb is the one who is releasing the four horsemen. And he's releasing the four horsemen with the intent and the purpose of reaching every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Revelation chapter 5. He is on the throne and the seals are being undone, so that his purpose of every nation hearing and responding to the gospel is being worked out. A specific example, a very clear example we see of that these days is in Yemen, where there has been war, and war has resulted in famine, and famine results in disease, cholera, and now COVID. And yet in the midst of that trauma, where all the foreign Christian workers have had to leave, we see the Yemeni church thriving. We hear reports of the Yemeni church growing, new leaders being raised up, supported from the outside, but within the country there is growth. Yemenis are more desperate than ever before, and when they hear the gospel, they're responding. The Lamb is working out his purpose. God is faithful.
I see how the gospel message and the Bible narrative remains valid and real if we find ways to live it out and explain it. In our lonely, tired, sometimes I say angry, anxious communities, divided countries, it is something that is very, very powerful. God is faithful, and I see many empty church buildings in Europe, but at the same time, I see a very active and lively church with people that have a genuine heart to be living with Jesus and to be serving their communities. I also see how God is calling believers to love their neighbors. You know, I see it in our continent many times. The majority of good works in our societies are still done by people that love Jesus. To volunteer, to help, to visit, to care, to love people is done by Jesus followers in our countries, faithful to his mission to redeem people.
So somehow to summarize what we're hearing here, God remaining faithful to his mission. We're hearing from around the world that, well, God and his mission haven't changed, that God is sovereign and he is working out his purposes. And God's people have remained faithful, and they continue to reach out and demonstrate his love. And it has been a great encouragement for me, spending time with these friends from all around the world. And sorry that we couldn't hear Mary so clearly, but she has such valuable things to share. We added those subtitles. But just to hear these brothers and sisters who have extraordinary responsibilities leading huge mission efforts in their part of the world. And it has struck me that perhaps through this pandemic, has the Lord been wanting to wake us up as a church? Perhaps here in the UK to shake us a little bit. Open our eyes to be aware of the situations in our communities, but also around the world. Open our eyes to perhaps be challenged again about our priorities and how we spend our time and how we spend our money. What I'm hearing from our friends and seeing, we're reminded that God is on the throne, that he is sovereign, he's in control of all things. We're being reminded that the church is far more than just an institution, buildings and Sunday services. The church is a movement of followers of Jesus, ministering and sharing his love. Perhaps we're to be challenged not just to go through the motions of church services, but to wake up to what doing church is really all about. We've been reminded, involved in mission efforts, the importance of innovation and thinking creatively, having to be agile and imaginative, not just settling for the status quo. We've always done it this way, so we must continue to do it this way. I think this last 18 months we've learned that we need to be creative. We need to be on our knees praying and seeking God for new ways of effectively reaching out. You know, many churches, I believe, have learned that we can connect better with our mission partners around the world. So much easier to put them up on the big screen and have interviews, live interviews. We could do it before, but we've woken up to the reality of this in the last 18 months. And later on in our series, I'll be speaking a little bit more about that. As mission sending agencies, we've learned we can do training of new missionaries online. And there are some advantages to doing that, although there are some challenges. We've learned that, well, we've had to stop some ministries, but we've seen others launched and flourished as we've been seeking God as to how best to reach out effectively. We've seen a shift of focus. It's not just about sending out cross-cultural workers, but how can we motivate, mobilize, and equip same and near culture workers for reaching out into their communities? And what does that mean for us in the UK? Well, Steve, in session three, will be talking more about that. I'm especially challenged by Ashley from Asia speaking of these prayer initiatives, and I wonder if we in the UK have also learned or been reminded about the importance of prayer. Has this pandemic driven us to our knees, spending more time crying out to the Lord, maybe engaging in prayer groups with WhatsApp or however works for us? Are we praying more for the least reached peoples of the world? And we heard time and again from our friends, increased opportunities for Christians, for the body of Christ, to demonstrate the love of God through holistic ministries. We are a people of hope, and we have hope to share with the whole world. Let's just watch this next short video as I move towards the end.
Always somebody asks us, okay, why are you here? We are here because Christ loves, and Christ loves so much to you and us. That's why we are here. We are living in Central Asia, one of the least rich community in the world. 99% population is Muslim.
So our passion is to share good news with people and tell them about Jesus and bring God's love to them.
I heard about Jesus from my friend. He said, Jesus is a way, and if you follow Jesus, you will feel peace and your life will be changed. Now I have peace, and I hope God has a big plan for my life.
In my family, it was difficult. There were a lot of arguments because there was no food. Then finally, my father got a job through a family that were believers. That family showed much love to my father. Then my father asked them who they were. They said, "We are followers of Jesus Christ." At that time, my father said, "I will follow Jesus because I cannot live in the sinful life. I want to change my life." Before Jesus, there was no hope to become happy. But after I met Jesus, everything changed. I have hope and I have light.
In this woman ministry, women come together and we read the word and we share our difficulties and challenges, and then we pray for each other. And our purpose is that these women go back to their own community and they share what they learned from this group.
With youth, we are doing sport ministry, and with men, health lesson. For example, if they ask some question, if this answer is from Bible, we can quickly share this. Maybe God will open their eyes, their heart through these words and change people's life.
We have seen 8 to 10 house group in our area. We saw that 3 people come to Christ, and they are followers, and we also see that 7 or 8 are their seekers, God-fearing people, those who are open, those who are willing to DBS, Discovery Bible Study, on daily basis. Nationals who are a second generation, they are leading the groups. That's amazing to see them, how they're flourishing in their communities. I believe this is a braveness and boldness, not from us. This is the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ. And that is pouring in their life, and that showing into the community, and they're spreading the love around them.
Demonstrating and sharing and spreading the love of God all around the world. Let me just finish with a concern or a potential challenge that I think we might be facing. It's what I'd call a shrinking worldview, or the danger of our worldview shrinking in the midst of this pandemic. Is there a possibility that as we look in our immediate communities and vicinities here in the UK, that we could increasingly start to focus exclusively on the needs locally, on our Jerusalem, but forget perhaps about the Judea, Samaria, and certainly the ends of the earth? That's somebody else's problem. Think last week of our government passing the new legislation reducing foreign aid sent by the UK, because the need is here in the UK. And I fear and wonder if that might be reflected in our churches in the UK as well. Perhaps in an economic challenging time, mission budgets will be the first to be cut because the need is here and we have to concentrate locally. And of course, we look in our country, 60 million people, maybe 5 million from least reached peoples living in our communities, on our doorsteps. And we do need, as believers, as followers of Jesus here in the UK, to reach out and share the love of Christ with them. But my challenge would be that we never forget the more than 2 billion people who live in the world with us, who live in areas where there's no Christian witness, as I said last night from the platform, who, humanly speaking, will live and die never having had an opportunity of meeting a follower of Jesus. And I still believe that the British church has a role to play, praying, giving, helping to mobilize near and same culture workers, but also seeing British people sent out to share the love of Christ to the ends of the earth. God remains faithful to his mission, and he calls us to partner, to engage in that mission to people local to us, but also to people at the ends of the earth. I'm going to hand back to Steve now, and I think there will be an opportunity for some questions if people have things on their heart they'd like to ask.
Thanks, Matthew. Stay there, please. Anybody got any questions? I can come around with the microphone. And thank you, Matthew, for the challenge at the end, especially. Anybody want to raise their hand? Any questions that came up during that session? We've got about 5 minutes. If there's no questions, we can just turn to neighbour and pray. But great, let me come around.
I wondered, obviously, technology, we've been able to advance the gospel, but are other religions like Islam trying to do to reach out to peoples and maybe influencing people as well?
Thank you. So the question is technology being used by other faiths and not just ours to reach out effectively?
If I'm honest, I really don't know. I really don't know. I would imagine so. I did hear a report, and I probably won't say where from, but I heard a report from a more difficult closed access country where, yes, online people have been speaking very much against Christian believers. I just heard that in the last days. So I'm sure it is happening, but I don't know to the extent.
Thank you. Got another question back here.
Using modern technology, it costs us money to own these things and to run them. How do these poorer countries afford these things? They must not be able to have availability for them.
Thank you. So the question's around affordability of new technology approaches and how available are they in countries that have greater economic poverty?
Yeah, I mean, I was encouraged, perhaps a little surprised, but very encouraged to hear from Mary, who oversees this extraordinary ministry through the Sahel region of Central Africa, where North Africa meets Sub-Saharan Africa, and to hear there the increase in gospel messages, people using WhatsApp and YouTube. So it would seem that in some of even the poorest countries in the world, there are opportunities for people to be online and engage. Of course, it's going to be a challenge for many people, but there seems to be a growth in the awareness of reaching out digitally.
There's one more question at the back here. Thanks, Matthew. Here we go.
I share your concerns about from your last question, but I think what I sense that the Lord is doing is is encouraging us in the UK to reach out. One of the challenges is reaching out in the UK, certainly from the work that I do a lot, is there's great indifference amongst white British. We're seeing lots of explosions of cultures, different cultures in the UK, like you mentioned, the Turkish work that's being done in London. But I'm seeing in other, amongst network of people I work with, amongst Muslims and amongst Albanians and amongst Eastern Europeans. I think what, you know, if we think back to what happened with the Moravian Church, there was an implosion of prayer, which then led to an apostolic sending out. And I think that what the Lord is trying to do is to encourage us more in the UK to reach out and learn how to do that, and then see the fruit from that, from ascending out to the unreached people groups around the world. Would you agree?
Amen. Very much. And Steve, we are looking forward to your session number 3, because Steve's going to talk about mission in and to the UK and what that can then lead to. So
the question there really relates to how near culture or near country work can prepare us as churches to send out where there is no church. Thank you. That's a really important point. We've got time for one more question.
It's not a question, it's a comment. I want to encourage you that I saw the most amazing thing through on Facebook, that because of the terrible situation in India recently, Indians who have been beseeching their gods to save them have been so disillusioned that they have been tipping their gods wholesale into rivers and into dumps, and local Christians have had the possibility of sharing Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord that he's being known in those places. Thank you for sharing that story. I'm going to draw questions to a close there and just hand back to Jonathan to close us in prayer and give us our sending off orders as to what we do next.